Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Andy Troy Show, where you can sample all the great things New York has to offer. For the next 60 minutes, I'll not only clue you into some great things to do around town, but we'll also chat with some interesting local personalities. Tonight's guests are New Yorkers with unusual jobs, including Natasha the belly dancing sword swallower, Tom Misfit the fang maker, and Eric the celebrity mask maker. But first, our shameless plugs. For those of you who haven't read my anti-aging book, Living Young, 32 Habits of Ageless People, there's no time like the present. It's always the right time to stay young and get healthy. Also, if you're going to live a long time, you might as well enjoy it. So check out my DVD, The Bedroom Workout for Men, on how to improve men's sexual performance through exercise. Both are available on Amazon.com and my website, AndyTroy.com. Remember that if you bring my book to any of my events, I will be happy to autograph it for you. Speaking of which, our next event will be this Friday night from 6 to 11 p.m., our annual Mardi Gras party at New York's most spectacular rooftop lounge, 235th, located at 235th Avenue between 26th and 27th Streets. There will be drink specials, there will be face painting by Jade El Haddad, and of course lots of beads. It'll be a great night, so come join us. The details for this and all my monthly events are on my website, tastingnyc.com. The Andy Troy Show is a group on Facebook that contains links to previous shows as well as pics of all our past guests. Check it out by punching The Andy Troy Show into your Facebook browser. Our friends from Rescue Inc. are participating in the Rescue Challenge, the Shelter Challenge, excuse me. To vote for them, punch Shelter Challenge-the Animal Rescue site into your browser, then put Rescue Inc. and New York State into the appropriate box. My good friend and producer, John Anello, a.k.a. Johnny Mandolin, has a CD called La Voce Mia. Order your copy today at johnnymandolin.com or call E. Rossi at 212-226-9254, and they'll hook you up. Finally, sponsors, we want them. If you'd like to promote your goods and or services to our vast listening audience, contact the station or me directly at andyftroy@aol.com. Okay, we're now going to bring on an interesting assortment of guests. Although first I have to say we are very sad that we will not have Giorgio the Human Carpet with us tonight. I got a call from him and his house is flooded, so the human carpet is not only wet, he's drenched. So we're trying to see if we can get Betty to wrap herself in a rug of some sort. Are you willing to do that? No. My producer is unwilling to help us with this. But we are going to now bring in Natasha, the legendary human sword swallower. How do you swallow swords, Natasha? What got you into this? Tell me about this.
Hello, lovey. Well, first of all...
Get closer to the microphone. We all want to hear from you.
Wouldn't you think for a sword swallower, I'd have a larger voice, eh? You never told me you were this good looking.
I didn't know until now.
No, really. I mean, you know, we've been chit-chatting and...
I don't want you to get jealous. You've got weapons with you.
That's true. All right. Well, how did I get into this? That's your first question, yes?
That is, yes.
Well, it was either this
the first one written on this paper, anyway.
It was either this or basket weaving.
Which do you consider to be more dangerous?
Basket weaving.
Yeah.
Because
be
this is
feeling.
Second nature to me.
Okay. Now, how does one train for sword swallowing? I mean, how do you work your way up to that? Do you, like, start with straws and work your way up to a pocket knife or what?
Well, no, actually, all fun aside, although I do, I've got the perfect bloody answers to all of these.
Okay.
I'll give you the...
So you're well rehearsed, basically.
Oh, quite well, yes.
Well, my feeling is spontaneity is best when carefully planned.
So. Done, but, yes. You know, the day after I got married, for some reason I knew that was me forte. Ah! I'm joking.
Did you guys watch Deep Throat on your honeymoon? Or?
Never. No, we didn't need
you
to.
You haven't seen that yet?
We didn't need to. It's a bit before me time, and trust me. No, this actually part of this show is dedicated to me wonderful hubby, who... died exactly 4 months ago today. 4 months. So yes. I loved him.
What happened with that, actually? Because I do know of you, because I know a lot of belly dancers, and in addition to sword swallowing, you belly dance.
Yes, I do. I actually have... Well, here's the thing. I don't believe that you can... God's honest truth, I do believe it's a God-given gift. I really do.
There's sword swallowing or belly dancing? Which one?
A really good sword swallowing. It takes the... It takes, seriously, about 10 bloody years to learn. And
how long to get the sword back out, by the way?
You know, don't interrupt.
Okay, I'm stumping her with some of these questions.
Oh, really?
My goal.
You think I'm just trying to be a polite little Brit?
Okay, well.
No, you won't stump me, lovely.
You're going to have to do better at that, I'm sorry.
All right. No, it takes approximately 10 years, and it took me 5.5 weeks. And I was already at 5.5 weeks swallowing 22 inches. I've got the longest sword ever in the Guinness World Book of Records. And I've got six...
I'm sorry, I have the longest sword in the Guinness Book of World... Oh, you mean you swallowed the longest sword. I'm sorry.
You're not looking so hot anymore.
Yeah, well, my material gets better as the night wears on.
Does it? Yes. No, I'm six-time Guinness World Book record holder.
Really? How long was the longest sword?
29.5 bloody inches, and the most at one time, 14, which will be in next year's record book.
You swallowed 14 swords at one time.
I actually cannot watch myself. I don't know who that person is. So after I got through, I actually heard the bloody announcer go, "Oh, my God, Natasha's got like the size of a baseball bat down her throat." Serious.
Have you ever actually had a baseball bat down your throat?
No, I haven't, but I have been in the hospital after I lost 53% of my blood.
Oh, I want to hear about that. So you have been hurt doing this, though.
Terribly. Yeah, terribly, terribly. And to this day, I still say the only thing that'll kill you is the hospital bill.
Now, how many sword swallowers are there in the world these days?
Approximately 49 that actually work.
How many were there when last week started?
At the Ripley's, yeah?
No, I'm just figuring there are 49 now. How many were there last week? Because it seems like a pretty risky profession.
It is, very.
I thought we might have dropped 20 of them in the past week.
No, not quite, because they don't... They're great lot, all of them. They are.
Really?
Yeah. But to incorporate belly dancing with the sword swallowing really does work.
It is unique. Okay, well, we definitely want to hear a lot more from you, but we don't want to ignore... The guy with the fangs, Tom Misfit, just walked into the room. He was late, so he will be punished.
Oh,
you have a woman
him.
With a sword here, by the way.
I
you have your fangs
him.
On?
Sorry. No, actually, they're in my pocket at this point.
Oh,
very yeah, that's what's in his pocket.
So how did you first get into, get closer to the microphone, Tom. Move sure. this thing closer to you. How did you get involved in fang making? Because that's an unusual profession.
Well, I kind of just fell into it. I was doing a lot of makeup for myself and others for performances. And when I started realizing... that doing fangs was a little bit more easier of a load to carry around and would make a little bit more profit. I went with that, and after showing off what I could do, I kept on getting more popular and popular, so that's becoming the bread maker compared to my original passion, makeup.
Really? So you're quite the popular fang maker. Actually, I did have you at one of our events recently, and so I got to see you in action, and he's actually... You are
yes,
actually a very personable fellow, which is one of the reasons I wanted to drag you on the show.
Yes, yes.
To counter Eric, who is obviously a loudmouth. Eric, speak up. Say something to us. Eric is a celebrity mask maker who has made masks for Cirque du Soleil.
Yes, thank you.
Natasha is applauding quietly in the background.
Thank you so much. Thanks
how did you get involved with them?
Actually, I kind of promoted myself, which I usually don't do. I contacted them myself. They didn't discover me. And the rest is history.
Okay, it's not as exciting as an answer as I was hoping for.
No, it's not. I mean, I can't compete here.
Is there a lot of mask-making competition? Like, how did you... I mean, I got to think it's a big deal to get a job working for them.
It is, actually. And I honestly didn't think that they would give me the time of day, but when they saw the samples that I made, which I had only been making for about 3 or 4 years, I got a call from them, and they were very interested in my work. I was actually flattered, and it was unexpected, but they've done very well with my mask.
I was actually impressed with them. I ran into you at someone else's event, actually, speaking of vampires, at the 16th annual Vampire Ball. And I didn't even know you at the time, and you were displaying your masks there, which were very
interesting. That's correct. Again, I'm not very good at self-promotion, so I contacted them probably about 2 weeks before the event. And they actually had me show at their event, which, again... There's a lack of self-promotion on my part, but it worked out.
Okay, so I know there's a lot of promotion to it, but these masks are pretty expensive, right? You probably don't sell many in an event. How much is a mask?
The average mask is about $200. Again, they're all handmade from scratch. So there's a lot of work that goes into them. They're not the kind that you see in most general stores. Each piece is unique. Even if I create the same style, it's never identical because the materials that I use vary. I use a lot of gems. I use crystals. They're airbrushed or hand-painted. So each piece really is a unique work of art.
Okay. Are we hearing me out there okay in the world? Somebody mentioned that my mic was down. We need a break? Is that the case, Betty? We need a break because my mic might be down. So you may not know this, but we'll be right back. Okay, I believe we're back now. We just got a full tank of gas and a whole new set of microphones that came along with it. So, are we back on the air? Someone tell me. Are you happy to hear from us? Okay, anyway, Natasha, we're going to talk to you because you've got a lot of cool stuff to say. Now, you hold several, you're shaking your tambourine or something, okay. You have several world records. Can you tell us about them?
No.
Okay, that took care of that. Now we'll go to Tom. Yeah. Natasha, tell us
Yes, I do.
Us what you got to say.
I do. I've got quite a few world records. And this is the bloody truth. And it's very, very, very cool. For 26 years, actually 27, the Guinness World Book of Records, and it is from the Guinness Beer, by the way. Fascinating story. They took sword swallowing out of the Guinness book. They reinstated it for me in the year 2006 because so many blokes were bloody well killing themselves trying to outdo each other's records. So they followed me about. They wanted to make sure I was the real deal. I didn't even know this. And all of a sudden in the year 2006, I get over 1,000 emails. Natasha, you're on the Guinness World Book of Records. Me like an idiot, and instead of doing a whole mass mail, I write each and every one of them back. Absolutely not. Guinness is never going to put another sword swallower in. Sure enough, there I am, 2006. 2007, huge photograph of me. 2008, they came all the way from Great Britain and Italy, all the way here to New York to take fantastic photographs. So everybody, I'm in the new 2011 book as well. So do go pick it up, and it's for the most swords and the longest sword. The longest is 29 and a half, and Cutie Troy.
Okay, well, Natasha is holding up a Guinness Book of Records medal, which is perfect for radio. Okay, we're very impressed. Can you guys hear that slamming against the microphone? Okay, very nicely. Okay, now, what is the largest sword that you've swallowed? Have you told us that before?
Well, the largest would be when I do multiples, yeah? So the most is 14.
I've heard women say that before, but never in relation to swords.
Well, now you have.
Okay, so you do more than one sword at one time.
Yes, yes, I
How
do.
Many?
14 at one time.
14.
But they're keeping that record for next year because I did the 14. I went to Rome, Italy, where the biggest show for Guinness is being presented, yeah? And it's huge. It's all over Europe. Middle East. You know what? Andy, you know I could swallow this.
Could you?
I can.
She's threatening to swallow our microphone.
I'm not threatening. There's no threat here.
Another $27 and get a new set of equipment.
It's not a threat.
Really? It's a prediction. Well, you're just saying your ability. You have the ability to swallow the microphone, are you telling me?
Well, it depends. If you buy me a wine, perhaps I'll show you.
Interesting. Okay. Now, we're going to move back to Tom here because we don't want him to feel left out.
That's fine with me. I just stay in the dark on the side.
Really? So how do you promote yourself, Tom? What's your general MO? Because Eric says that he's not really much of a promotional guy. You seem a little livelier.
Well,
we're going to wake Eric. Oh, do you have your fangs in now? Did you
pop
them
in? Yeah, you weren't looking,
I slipped
them on.
His fangs are in. Very good.
Whoa!
Yeah, kind of a treat for everybody that's here instead of out there in Radio Land.
Let me see the treat. Let me see. Open. Oh, nice.
Those are good.
Nice.
Very nice.
Nice.
So how do you promote yourself generally? How do you get business?
Well, I have a store on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. That works out great because I'm pretty much the only stable fang maker on the East Coast.
most of the other Fang makers are unstable, is what you're saying?
Not per se, but location it is.
That's not surprising, actually. But now you seem like a sensible young fellow. You're a fine businessman. Watch him.
pretty much all year round, I have a store that I work out of. And I also do horror conventions, tattoo conventions, comic conventions, different types of nighttime club parties, usually like in the S&M and goth club circuit.
Okay. Now, is there a lot of competition involved in what you do? Like, how many Fang makers are there in town?
Well, I would say in the tri-state area, like in this general area, anybody that could get in and out of Manhattan within like the within a half hour, I would say maybe we're on like three or so. But like I said, I'm one of them, and I'm the only one that actually has their own store to work out of. Everybody else is kind of
mobile.
Yes.
So you're a little more stable, which is what I look for in a Fang maker. Very nice. Now, Eric.
Yes.
Eric is holding hands with Natasha. I think that there is a possible love connection here.
There is a link. I make masks, she dances.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. And I do believe he loves me makeup, don't you, darling?
I do, absolutely.
Right. Now, Eric, do you do a custom work? If someone comes to you with something that they're looking for, can you give them what they're after?
I do. I do custom work, custom colors. You could see styles on my website and select what colors you like, and I do make accommodate.
What is your site?
Eric'sInspiration.com, E-R-I-K, Eric'sInspiration.com.
Now, what was your first mask-making gig, or did you go right to Cirque du Soleil?
No, actually...
Am I pronouncing that right? Because French is lousy.
Cirque du Soleil. Circle
Soleil.
Of the Sun, yes.
Okay.
My first gig was actually not that great. It was on eBay, and it actually sold to a family in Greece for a lot more money than I expected I would sell the mask, and they loved it. So my first mask was actually sold out of the country.
Okay, so you sold something to the Greeks.
Yep.
And then how did you get hooked up with Cirque du Soleil? You said you just like contacted them and took a job?
Well, I basically contacted the performance department, you know, because I didn't have a contact in Cirque du Soleil. And they were actually, they're such a great company. They actually put me through to the merchandising department, and I got in touch with the director of merchandising, and he happened to be coming to New York. I thought he was just coming to New York, but when he saw my work, he actually made a trip to see me and one other artist, and he ended up instantly loving my masks and carrying them.
Natasha is also impressed with your masks, apparently. She hasn't seen them yet, so she's an easy sell. But
I actually have a couple here. I will show her.
Okay. Yeah, bring out a mask. Let's see what you've got. Show us what you've got. The mask, we've already seen his fangs. We're going to see Natasha's sword in a little bit. Show and tell here. I'm going to show you something, too, when I get a chance.
Whoa.
That is very impressive.
Whoa.
Thank you.
No, it's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
That's really very interesting.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Now, you've worked with them for what? Was it like 4 years, I think?
This is my fourth year with them,
Oh, Lord.
So,
you got talent.
Thank you so much. This is actually my fourth year with them.
Oh,
now, I guess
God.
You don't make everything, obviously. They got like a million shows, but how do you work for one show or several?
No, actually, they've been very good about letting me create. I mean, they actually send me their inspiration boards, and from that, I create a style that I feel fits their theme. And every year they select, you know, they have, I think, four artists. And every year they select a few styles that they find fitting. And I've been very fortunate. Each year they've picked at least two styles from my work.
Okay, so Eric is quite the mask guy. And you also worked with someone else, another interesting client. Well, I don't know if they paid for this. Prince Charles got a mask out of you, didn't he?
Yes, actually, he was visiting Canada because I believe Canada is a British...
Part of the Empire.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not quick to let go.
No, they're not.
They
want
to move
on
us
to
again.
It. Exactly. Yeah. So as a gift to him and Camilla, they were allowed to select two masks, one of which... Actually, Camilla chose my mask, so obviously she has great taste.
Now, I've heard of a two-bagger, but is she a two-masker, would you say, basically? One for him
because
hers falls off? Is that the way it works?
I've been told that was the best she's ever looked. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, now, where can someone just texted in. Where can we see his masks?
I'm sorry?
Someone just texted in, where can they see your masks?
Ericsinspiration.com. Actually, I'm going to be selling through Gothic Renaissance in New York City starting next week.
Oh, where is that?
That's 104 Fourth Avenue. There you go.
New York, 100.
Yeah, there you go. So obviously we're the same.
His new agent. He's going to marry Natasha.
Exactly.
And Tom is going to be his PR guy. So I'm glad I brought people together here. So we're going to go back to Natasha because we...
Hello.
She's heavily armed, so we don't want to leave her
out.
I
am, yes.
Now, I recently saw that an article about the thing you did at the Guinness Book of Records Museum. Tell us about that event, because that was pretty wild.
Well, first off, Andy.
Yes.
It was Ripley's, believe it or not.
Oh, excuse me.
All right.
Can't read my own notes.
That's true. So, yes, it was... I'm serious, I could swallow this, and it's getting very tempting, but I'm not. The microphone, lovies, the microphone.
You like any sort of long pointed object, is that okay? You're very into that microphone, I can see.
I told you, true story, all right, we'll go back to this, and then I'll tell you about Ripley's. It was fantastic. It was Sword Swallowers Day. Say that a few times. Sword Swallowers Day, Sword Swallowers, Sword Swallowers. Go ahead.
I don't know if I can do that.
There you go. All right.
I don't have your level of training.
Right. All right. So it was for World Sword Swallowers Day, and all the sword swallowers all over the bloody world, we swallow at the exact same time. So I'm at Ripley's with other wonderful sword swallowers from America, and some came from Connecticut. A lovely article in the Sunday Daily News. Crappy photo this year, though. Crappy.
They had like a little kid swallowing something there, too.
Oh, please. No, he's actually, his daddy, his father, is the great Todd Robbins, known throughout the circus world. He's a fantastic and wonderful over-the-top performer.
Is he a swallower, too, as well?
Yes. So he brings his little toddler along and just gives him something, you know, and the little toddler goes along with it. But, you know, he's much too young, but perhaps soon he will be swallowing.
I don't know if I like the sound of that. Now, somebody just wrote in. I guess they did a little research on you. Natasha, born in India, of white, Russian, and British heritage. That's quite a mix.
Yes.
Can you give us a little family background?
Well, actually, it's true. I'm born in India proper, which means...
The Brits weren't ready to let that go either, huh?
Well, no, this is way before me time. But true story, me mum was pure British. And me da is... they're called white Russians. And that means that they're from Siberia.
I've had a few of those. And the drinks, too, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Righto.
Okay, continue. Tell us more.
I know. I mean, may I go on, or are you going to constantly interrupt?
Yeah. Probably both.
Andy.
Probably both.
Andy.
Yes.
Right. So, yes, that's where I'm born. And me da from Siberia, me mummy's family had been... having land in Egypt, Iowa.
Yeah, that's where I'm from.
Yes.
Where are you from? You're from Egypt?
I'm originally from Egypt.
She pinned you out, or did she question you?
No, I told her.
Oh, okay. So.
Lala. Iowa. Peace, epic. So, yes. Yes, back to me.
Yes.
Instead of me in the Egyptian. Right. And Fangboy here, who's so cute.
Don't talk about me that way.
Please.
Oh, you mean him. Okay.
Right. So my family, I'm not joking about this. I don't know if you know a lot about history. It's a fascinating in geography as well. But my mum's family was the only ones when King Farouk in the 20s got rid of all Jews and all Jewish people and all of the British. My mum's family was the only one allowed to be kept there. And including India.
You're Jewish, Natasha?
No, not at all. No.
Oh.
No.
Misunderstood you.
Yes.
Are you willing to be Jewish? Because I can't marry you otherwise.
Oh, God. Absolutely. And remember, I could...
She's very flexible. I like this.
Well, here, let me tell you something.
She could be anything you want her to be.
Mean people suck. Nice people swallow.
I heard that.
Okay. So back to me, all right?
Yes.
Fine. You wanted to know... No. Are you... King Farouk's time, he got rid of all Jewish people and all Brits, which is the family.
That's where you fit in.
All the British, because they had Egypt and India at the time under their colonial rule, righto?
Yes.
So Egypt wanted the land back. And this is like 20, 20, 1923, 1924.
It's a little before my time.
Way before
our time.
You were
born in the 30s, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Way, 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 way before our time. But my mum's family's mum's, from their side of the family, for generations and generations. So we're talking many generations. They were allowed to keep their land, India as well. So I was born in India, and it is now, at the time it was Bombay, and now it's, oh my God, how can I forget it? Come on.
Calcutta, I don't
know. No.
Mumbai.
It's Mumbai now.
Very good.
Bombay, Mumbai.
I thought most of the people who were in Bombay are now in Brooklyn, from what I've noticed. That's another story.
Well, there's quite a few of them up here by this lovely restaurant as well.
Interesting. Do you like Indian food?
Is this a politically correct?
No, never. That's not even allowed, actually.
I know. Oh, God. It depends what British restaurant I go to.
Right. Well, of your various ethnicities, which food do you like? Do you like Russian food at all?
I make great Russian food. I'm a great cook.
Do you consider vodka Russian food primarily?
Well, that's food.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you a heavy drinker, Eric?
Me? Not really.
Oh, please, you fibber a liar. He's a two-fisted drinker.
Any other drunks here besides me and Natasha?
Oh, that's how I kind of hold my my craft. I got really drunk, and I kept on working like that.
Really? So you're in the Guinness Book of Records for the most drinks by a fan maker or something?
You know what? That would probably be true.
That would be interesting. I would like to hear more about that.
I must make some phone calls now.
Now, when you make these things, do they come in different sizes to people? Or obviously, it's custom-made, obviously, but...
Yes, they're completely custom-made to the person. So I start off from scratch. The raw materials are made right in front of you, set to your teeth. And then I ask the customer if they would like them long, short, medium size, or however they would like it.
Now, have you had any interesting experiences with a customer that you could share with us? Because you've got to have had some unusual people come to you for fangs.
Yes, I could just name like three off the top of my head. Okay. I had a... Well, the funny one I'll leave to the end because it's not about fangs, but it is about the same thing that I do. I've had a...
The non-fang jokes are mine on this show, Tom.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I would say I had a musician come in from West Virginia and does a horror punk themed band.
They don't have a lot of teeth to begin with. What do you cap?
He was had all of his teeth, but him himself... He depicts himself as a vampire, so one day he ended up just stepping on his that he got from somewhere where I don't know, and he knew me as being a fan and just getting to know him and other bands that he was in, and gives me a call, comes over, gets some fangs done, but it was in between concert dates. So he would come in and say, I only have an hour, I'm shooting to Connecticut. He would come back and say, I only have an hour, I'm shooting to North Jersey. So something that would have took like an hour or two resulted in weeks. Another person, let's see, I actually had it written down and I'm like,
he's got notes
right now.
Can't,
yes, I know. I'm like hocked up on Red Bull. I had a very long weekend.
The guy is stoned and there's not even alcohol involved.
I know, that's the only mix up.
Well, you're looking at that. I've got to ask Natasha a question.
Sure.
I know you're going to swallow for us, Natasha.
I am, yes.
How long does that take to prepare? Because could you do that during the commercial break?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
In fact, I could be.
So you can start getting ready now. We're going to go to a commercial break in a minute. Tom's going to try to remember his story.
I'm ready.
And then we're...
ready.
She's ready to
swallow. No, I'm ready.
Okay, so we're going to go to commercial. All right, buddy? And when we come back,
all
of you on the radio are going to be able to see Natasha swallow a sword and hear Tom's reaction. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Chantani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital stereo
broadcasting to the world.
Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com, that's GIAMONDO.com, or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian American community, It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. Check out Gia on the internet at www.giamondo.com. Gia Newspaper, the Italian-American newspaper for today.
Hello, my name is Anthony Teresa, owner and producer of Blue Night Recording Studio in beautiful Orange County, California, just outside Los Angeles. As a guitarist, vocalist, bassist, session player, producer, and engineer, I have either played or recorded on over 400 CD projects. Let me tell you, it's not easy to record your own music. My goal is to help you to be the best you can be behind the mic and in the tracking room. We'll get the best possible sounds from your voice and instruments. Do you need musicians? I've got them. The top session players in Southern California and Los Angeles. Let's make your recording project a reality. You can contact me by phone at 949-338-0293. That's 949-338-0293. Or contact me at email at catduo@earthlink.net. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care and have a great week.
Hi, this is Robbie Russell from the Garage Mania Show.
This is Nurse Cheryl.
Listen to Garage Mania Radio on the
Shitani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital audio. Broadcasting to the world.
Okay, we're back. And we've got something very exciting going on. Natasha has now left the microphone area, which gives me two microphones, which is what's really exciting. But she is also going to now swallow. How long is this sword, Natasha? Tell us from a distance. Okay, she can no longer speak, but no, how long is this?
I'm going to swallow the longest in the world, 29.5.
She is about to swallow a 29.5-inch sword on this show. I can guarantee that's the first time that's happened on this show today. Okay, so, Natasha, we don't want you injured, so nobody bang into her while she's doing this. Okay, she is now about to pull the sword out of the sheath. There it goes. Very impressive. Not a bad-looking sword. Zip your pants up, though.
Sorry about that.
Okay, here we go. This is wild.
I've only seen this once before. Not in New York, though, so this is a first for me in New York.
Natasha has the sword all the way down her throat.
She put it
this
in there very fast.
Wow.
She's now touching herself in various ways, getting herself excited, which makes the removal more challenging. Okay. And here it comes back out.
Wow, very smoothly.
That was actually good job, Natasha. She's going to do something else. She's got something else, I think a little thicker. The Johnny Wad sword is coming out now.
It's curved, too.
It's curved, yes. Okay, here it comes, so to speak. Okay, she's now measuring it. It reaches from, you're about 5'3", right, Natasha? Okay. 94 pounds. It measures from her mouth all the way down to all kinds of good places.
Wow, she just said that she could swallow a cherry, throw a sword down.
And do something else, I don't know.
And actually pull the cherry back up with the
and
sword.
Pull, yes, she could. She could impale a cherry and pop it in your drink, no problem. Okay, here we go. She's going in, folks.
A little slower.
Somebody
this
else
time,
get a picture of this, because I'm busy narrating the show. There it is. It's down there. Oh, it's bobbing up and down. This is very sensual. That is an unusual skill. Tom, have you ever tried this?
No, but I have a very strong urge for shish kebab right now.
Eric, you seem like a daring fellow. Have you swallowed any swords before?
No, but I'm sure she's made many men happy.
I know, I'm happy right now. And she hardly touched me. Very good. Natasha's getting applause from the entire crowd.
Oh, she's coming at me.
She's now threatening me with one of the swords, which is even more exciting. Okay, Natasha. It's a promise? What is it? Okay. Come back, join us, because we want to talk more about this. She's wiping saliva away, which is also exciting. Okay. We're going to talk to Tom. Do you remember any of those stories or what?
Yes. Well, the musician...
this is going to follow a sword swallower, so make it good.
Yes, the musician, he was from a band called Blitzkid, and now he goes around, lay down the pictures and tracks for a new album. So he was able to do a lot of photo shoots with my fangs on, so I'm very happy about that. Another story was I encountered a real-life vampire, a person that believes and claims and basically just says that they're an actual living vampire.
The man's a wacko, basically.
Actually, I forget the name off the top of my head.
Wacko is what you're thinking.
I guess so.
Okay.
Well, she came in. She wanted to get some fangs, and she does some parties herself. She's into the whole vampire role-playing, plus she also really believes that she's a descendant from, like, the actual Vlad Tepes.
Oh, my uncle Vlad.
So the one question just kept on popping into my mind, so since you're a real vampire, why are you coming to me to get some fake vampire fangs? That was a funny story for me. The last one wasn't even about fangs. It was actually about teeth.
You're going to need metamaterial there. I'm sorry. This is Tom.
Yes.
You guys look so much alike.
A very well-known painter in the New York area, which, again, I forget his name. There goes the drunk part. No names.
You've got all this information on the top of your head, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. He came in. He started talking about fangs, but when he came in, he wanted to actually get teeth. He was having an art gallery opening. And since he had asthma, his asthma pump, over decades of use, rotted away all of his teeth. So I actually had to make a full top set of teeth for him. And it only connecting to half of one canine. The guy was so happy about it. He said, as soon as I sell one or two paintings, I could get all implants. But right now, I got a couple $100 in my pocket, and I need them by tomorrow. Sure enough, the next day he came in, a full dental prosthetic, dentures. And that was the first time I did it. I aced it, and I was really happy about it. And then right off the back, he says, wow, I was really actually hoping that they could have been, really razor sharp. I said, well, you came here asking for fangs, but then you really needed teeth, and now you want to be like a piranha. He said, either way, it'll do good for my art exhibit because most of my paintings are done with fangs.
She paints with fangs?
No, he incorporates fangs in the painting, so
yeah,
everything's
dips them
about
into color and
monsters
paint? No, okay.
And trees,
right.
And fishes and people, everybody, everything had fangs on it.
Interesting. Interesting specialization.
Yes,
so
he went looking for inspiration. He found me and said, wow, I got no teeth in my mouth. I'm around 30 years old, and I'm going to look really bad for my exhibit.
Now, did you have any kind of training, like the sort of training that someone who works in a dental office, well, not a dental office, but a lab that makes teeth would have?
No, actually, I pretty much honed this fashion on my own. Like I said, I got really drunk. I started working at it. Came out of my house like 3 days later with a pair of fangs, and I said, you know what? Fairly simple, so I just keep on incorporating a drink along with making fangs now.
You got drunk and just decided to make fangs, basically.
Yeah, I was very bored that day.
Interesting. No. Yeah.
So we're in the same boat, lovey.
And Natasha, you're back. Are you okay? What effect does that have on you when you do that? Does it take a while to get back to normal or what?
I've never been normal.
She's spitting up blood, folks. Somebody wipe off that
normal
microphone.
I think
oh,
I can
please
take care of that.
Do you know something?
See this pretty
mouth of mine? I don't even reapply lipstick. Look at that.
It is true. It is impressive. She managed to swallow two very large swords.
Isn't it, Mask Boy?
Without messing up her lipstick.
See,
which
and
is
remember, our Mask Boy here, he just keeps looking at the makeup, and I did it myself. Pretty, right?
No.
Very impressive.
And it's between us now. Mm-hmm. And I never reapplied the lipstick.
She's coming
and
out.
And I've got glitter.
That is impressive.
And I've got glitter on the lips, and they're bright red.
Very nice, actually.
I know. Yeah, it's called whore red lipstick.
Hmm. So, Eric, who's your typical client, would you say? What do you do most of your work? I mean, how much do you make for Cirque du Soleil? How many masks do you make for them?
I've probably made over 1,000 masks in the past 4 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The typical client could be, I've done belly dancers that have asked for peacock masks and stuff like that.
I've done weddings, parties, Mardi Gras, Halloween. Basically, masks are great for anybody. I mean, some people even display them in their homes as artwork. They don't have to be worn, but they can be. And they're very light. They're comfortable.
They're so light. So. Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah. So, what do your masks go for in a price range? I know this can't be a secret. It's on your website.
No, it's not. They average at about $200 a piece, but they go all the way up from there. They up to about $600. But I would say the average is about $200.
Someone just wrote in, what kind of lipstick? I guess someone wants to get into sword swallowing and would like to know what sort of cosmetics to use. What would you recommend?
Now, this is God's honest truth. I'm pale. You can't see me.
She is very light skinned.
I'm very, very, very white.
Like a porcelain doll.
It's true, yes. So I don't, and now here's the clincher. You think I'm wearing a lot of makeup, but because I'm so bloody pale, I don't. The first time I swallowed swords on stage, it was a huge stage. And I'm asphyxiated because I cannot hear. That's how big these swords are. I wore mascara. And it ran all the way down my face. That's the last time that I ever wore a lot of makeup. So I've done telly shows. I've done all kinds. I have to do my own. Nobody but me knows how. So my eyes, I only do it on top. Very little, actually. But because the Russian in me, I've got almost
Asiatic features.
Yes, very Asiatic, almost Mongolian, mm-hmm. wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, so a little bit of lipstick goes far, and I don't look English because I've got teeth.
Interesting.
Very true.
Come back to my West Virginia joke. I used that already, by the way. You got to listen to the previous material used on the show.
All right. Yeah. And okay. If you do want to come see this...
I do. I want to see...
Oh,
well,
whoever
I already
it is.
Saw it, so
if
I don't
you
need to come
want
back.
To see the beautiful whore red lipstick...
Yes.
I perform...
when's your next show? Where
Saturday,
are we
actually.
Saturday?
In the city, and it's at West Bank. I'm there every Saturday unless I'm on tour.
Really?
And that's, it's beautiful, very romantic. You wouldn't fit it, Andy. And it's very romantic, very classy. These two gents that I'm with would fit in, but you wouldn't. So.
I'll be watching a roller derby contest
and
at that
time. And it's at
time,
the West Bank at 407... West 42nd Street.
And at what time would this be?
Well, fans of mine
show
up
days
early.
Days before and
light there's
candles.
A long line. I mean, there's a long line, and then people show up around 9:30 to watch me stride in with all of me swords. And it's at the, what's the theater name? The theater name.
What theater is it? He's got an assistant here who looks terrified. Rory, is that your name?
Give me that.
Rory, where is this? Yeah, she's looking for literature.
No.
She's going to read some stuff. I'll read it. I'm a professional. Give me this. Okay. At the Laurie Beachman Theater, famous Broadway actress, featuring Natasha Varushka, the Queen of Swords.
That's me.
A four-time. Didn't you say you were a six-time?
Yeah, this is
You've got to get your cards redone.
I know, but
how do you win two more Guinness records and you don't put it on your card?
I know, because you know why? My husband died. So, I've been busy mourning.
What do you do in the evening?
Mourning and weeping.
Oh, okay.
Weeping and wailing.
Okay. You do sound busy. Okay.
Weeping and wailing.
Okay. Have you ever gone wailing, Eric?
Wailing?
Yes.
Like watching whales? Or right wailing on. Like screaming?
Wasn't a good joke. Okay. We're actually, so, anyone interested, Le Scandal Cabaret, Saturdays at 10:30 p.m. Reservations. A lot of people probably have reservations, but 212-388-2988 at the Laurie Beachman Theater and West Bank Cafe. That's 407 West 42nd Street. I read good.
Yeah, you
okay.
do. Please come and see that's, me every Saturday. Yeah.
Okay, so that's Natasha's story. Now, Eric.
Yes.
Who is your typical customer other than the folks at... Cirque du Soleil, and British royalty. You have something in common with her. She's British.
Yeah.
You've made masks for Prince Charles.
Exactly.
Did you ever hear from him, by the way? What did he have to say?
No, he doesn't. I didn't give him my
He didn't get back
number,
to you?
No. I was afraid he might harass me.
He's kind of a strange fellow. Okay. Tom.
He looks at me, and then he gets stunned.
I did. Put those fangs away. Anyway, so who's your typical customer, would you say?
That's one of the things I did remember. Actually,
remember something good.
The beer's helping.
Oh, see, okay. His memory's coming back. It's memory by Budweiser. Good.
Yes. Sorry, I'm more of a Heineken fan, but I just grabbed the Bud. You know. So
yeah. Well, you're flexible. Yeah. I like
I'm
that.
I'm drinking a great beer.
You're flexible. I like that in a vampire. Okay.
Now, what was the question again?
Right. I don't remember. What was the question? No. Who's your typical customer?
Actually, it's a 9-to-5 crowd. A lot of corporate America comes over to me. But recently, through the economy flux, it's actually flipped more to the night owls in nightclubs, actors, and general horror fans that come to me for the past like year and a half.
So the stockbrokers lost their jobs, and now you've got horror people.
They lost their jobs, and then they lost their will to have teeth. Yes.
Someone just wrote in how much. Maybe there's someone who has a job who would like to get some fangs from you.
Well, for an average single pair of fangs, like what I'm like temporarily wearing right now, because I'm going to show you a little trick with this Red Bull.
Yeah, I got to get a pair of those eventually.
Yes.
You're going to swallow the Red Bull?
No.
No.
I have something else in store for that can.
Okay.
My normal price is $138 per pair. So usually everybody kind of gets weirded out on what's a pair. And I say it's just like shoes. You get two. Because I do multiples, like a triple set, a double set, and so forth.
People
and so
stack
on.
Their fangs?
Oh, yes.
The hell is that about?
When I first came in, I had bad dental a triple work. Set. I That's had three unusual. On each side. Now I just have one pair. So I just wanted to show everybody this one little trick.
Okay. So we're going to go to commercial, though, I think. Right, Betty? We have a commercial coming up. When we come back, Natasha swallowed swords. I think Tom's going to swallow something. I don't know what it is. We'll be back.
Not swallowing, but something.
Okay.
You are listening to the Centani Broadcasting Network. I want to suck your blood, but I'd rather you listen to the station. We broadcast in high definition, digital stereo. Broadcasting to the world, Centani. You listen, you live.
If you love jazz, check out These Things We Dig, a new CD by jazz sax, flute, and clarinet recording artist James Aldean on Sexton Records. James Aldean has recorded 7 CDs for Sexton Records and appears regularly in the New York metropolitan area, including the great venue, the Whiskey Cafe. These Things We Dig features some of the best jazz and bebop styles, with James fronting the band, complemented by such great players as Mike Panella, Phil Jones, Bob De Benedette, Ron Naspo, and Wayne Thornton. You can get this new CD from Sexton Records by going to www.sexton.com. That's C-E-X-T-O-N.com. You can find out more about James Aldean at www.jldeanorchestra.com. For the best in jazz, it's Sexton Records, the audiophile jazz record label. Sexton.com.
You are listening to the Centani Broadcasting Network, C-E-N-T-A-N-N-I broadcasting.com, in high definition digital stereo.
Okay, we're back. Unfortunately, Tom has gone to the bathroom. I think he chickened out on this stunt. Tom, come back here. We're running out of time.
Oh, look, he's chewing his way out of the loop.
Yeah, what happened to him?
He's adjusting his fangs.
Like vampire.
Yeah, that's what he's adjusting, right, his fangs.
Here he comes.
All right.
Okay, Tom just went to the bathroom
Sorry
very fast,
that.
So if we're impressed with his stunt, we're not going to shake his hand. But Tom, what are you going to do with this can?
Well, you'll be able to hear it, so I guess I'm going to actually...
It's good for radio, then. Good. Sound
yes,
effects.
You're going to describe what's going on.
Okay. Tom is about to take a bite. Oh, vile. Oh, he just eating a Red Bull can. He just ripped it in half with his fangs. I'm with you.
Not the cleanest bite, but as you can see, they're pretty
nice.
Sharp.
Oh, I should have got
very
a picture
nice.
Of that. I'm disappointed in myself, but I can't multitask. Davino, the owner, is here. Are you impressed with this? We have people swallowing swords, eating cans. Eric, can you do anything strange?
I don't do anything violent like that.
No,
I'm
very
disappointed. Just
watch. Okay. So you're a voyeur, basically.
He's a voyeur.
Yes. Now, I understand someone helps you in your business, Eric. Let's give him a plug. Who is this?
He's my friend Rustin Hill, and he's actually he's very, very talented artist as well. And he's very good at doing visual displays. So whenever I have a show or something, which I don't do that often, he does do all the visual displays. And he also makes a lot of the masks. And without him, honestly, I don't think I'd be able to get as many masks done as I do.
You've basically ripped off this guy's work, is what you're telling me.
No, that's not true. We work together.
Okay. No excuse. Okay. Now, Tom, it says in your bio to ask about penguins and vampires. What
yes.
the hell is that about?
A very long story short.
Okay.
I endeavored into the role-playing vampire scene in New York City. And for a while, a lot of people started going into groups and categories. Half of them were named after animals. But the actual name for a vampire would be a sanguine. So, again, drinking, I said, you know what? I might as well call my group Penguin. Just to mess with everybody out there in the vampire world, let me make fun of them as much as possible.
I like penguins. You don't do anything nasty to these penguins, do you?
No, not at all. I'm kind of just like a
PETA
penguin.
Will
I
be
chill
all
on
over
the
you.
Side, and I'm really cool and relaxed.
Do you involve actual penguins in any of your activities?
Yes, I do. I have a logo that looks cross between a penguin and a star.
Interesting.
Also, I have. I always try to find some type of little. Like a penguin pendant or whatever to actually adhere to the boxes that I give you for fangs.
Okay.
So that way you have a little souvenir from the party crashing penguins.
Someone has written me three times asking me to ask Eric about the hair accessories. I don't know what that's about. He doesn't seem to use any hair accessories.
No, I don't.
But
we do make hair accessories as well, feathered hair accessories. I don't know if they've seen them on the website. That's something that we've just started doing. A lot of girls wear them for parties or for New Year's Eve or things like that, and they've been selling very well.
Okay, upcoming events. You have anything coming up, Tom?
Right off the top of my head, there's three of them. I have a cyber fetish party every third Saturday.
Who doesn't, huh?
Yeah, every third Saturday. It's called Stimulate. I don't know which location it'll be in, but it's usually the third Saturday.
It's going to make it harder to find, I have to tell you. Where can they get this information? You have a website?
You could check out my Facebook. I'm always helping out the people that help me out. The club promoters, I put up the event. It's Facebook.com/CustomFangsNYC. And I usually put up every event that I'm going to be at myself. So I have that coming up the third Saturday of this month. The end of the month, I'm going to be at Chiller Theater in New Jersey. I'm going to have a booth making fangs there. And then the first Friday of the month, I'll be in Philadelphia doing a party called Culture Shock.
Okay, so if anyone can't find Tom, just go to my friends on Facebook and punch in Custom Fangs.
Yep.
Maybe you'll send me a friend request. I'm very lonely. Okay. Eric, you have anything coming up?
No, I mean, just go on my website if you need custom-made masks. Again, I sell at Masquerade in New Orleans. I sell in Gothic Renaissance in New York City, and I sell in Portland, Oregon at Mystique.
Natasha, besides swords, do you have anything coming up?
No, just swords and belly dancing. That's all. That's all I do for a living. Yes, that's it. I swallow swords and belly dance all over the bloody world. That's it, Andy.
Website, Natasha. Where can we reach you? Where can we get a hold of you?
I'm so easy.
She's easy. She swallows swords. Well, this is much too sexual.
Look, lovely audience. Let me tell it this way: everybody in the restaurant is now practically nude, and the men have no pants on. So, you know, I got to get out of here soon.
My pants are still off.
Yeah, they're still off. All right, and the undies are a little snug, if you know what I mean. A little snug.
Well,
something's at a jaunty angle, but I don't want to go into it.
She doesn't want to go into my panties, is what she's saying.
True. Anyways, yes, I perform almost every single day. The easiest way is just Google me name, Natasha, the Queen of Swords. I've got actually more written up on me than Madonna. So that's pretty simple. Yeah,
she has more on her than Madonna. Madonna doesn't wear much, so that's actually interesting. Okay.
Could I actually plug in my quickly, my store that I work in?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I work at a store called Flame Job. It's 170 East 7th Street between 2nd Street, actually. 170 East 2nd Street.
That's the street, right.
On the Lower East Side of Manhattan between Avenues A and B. So okay. You could always go there and find me there.
I'll
be
go
there
buy
later
a
tonight.
Fang.
But I'll be there later tonight.
We are gone.
I have drinks. We'll continue.
Oh.
When it comes to providing guide dogs for people who are blind or visually impaired, one national organization is taking the lead. The Guide Dog Foundation breeds and trains Labradors and Golden Retrievers to help blind and visually impaired people increase their mobility and independence. The foundation provides transportation to its New York campus, the guide dog, a comprehensive training program, and a lifetime of aftercare services, all free of charge. The benefits to training with a guide dog at the Guide Dog Foundation in Smithtown, New York are many. Among them are small class sizes for personalized attention, a long history of excellence in dog breeding, and a highly skilled professional training staff. The foundation offers a comfortable environment and diverse training areas from country walks to city subways. If you or someone you know could benefit from the foundation's free services, call 800-548-4337.
Cent'anni, that means 100 years.
Yeah, è vero, cent'anni, 100 years, Rose. And thanks to Johnny Mandolin and Cent'anni Broadcasting for letting us get you involved to remember the Triangle Factory Fire Centennial Memorial this year, 2011.
It's coming up on March 25th, 100 years ago, the fire that happened at the corner of Washington and Green, downtown Manhattan, New York City. 146 workers' lives were lost.
That's right, and mostly young girls, Rose, mostly young Italian and Jewish garment workers. Please come to our website, www.rememberthetrianglefire.org. Get involved and help us make a permanent memorial to these young garment workers and the legacy of workers' safety, immigrant rights.
We need to all remember what came from this fire. Join us March 25th, 2011.
Join Workers United and the Fire Coalition. www.rememberthetrianglefire.org.